invite those who are able to remain standing to honor the reading of our gospel lesson. A reading from the gospel according to John chapter 20, verses 1 through 20. Hear the first Easter story. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabuni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be accepted in your sight, O God, who is our rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, have you ever had a time when what you thought was going to be the absolute worst day turned into the very best? I want you to put yourselves in the shoes of Mary Magdalene on that first Easter Sunday. She had no idea it was Easter. Perhaps the scriptures give us a way to connect with her mood by telling us it was still dark. Mary is going to the tomb, but she's not expecting to find it empty. She's expecting to find that it holds the dead and lifeless and violated body of a man that she loved and claimed as her Savior. She had witnessed what had been done to him. I don't know how many of you have seen a dead body, especially one that has experienced trauma. But it's a picture you cannot easily erase from your mind or your heart. She thought she was going to have to experience that horror again. But she wanted to touch him. She wanted to clean his wounds. She wanted to offer the sacred gift of anointing his body to prepare him for burial. One of her concerns on her journey there had been, how was she going to get to him? He was sealed in a tomb. A heavy stone was in her way. But when she arrived and the stone was rolled away, she still had no idea it was Easter. She figured someone had removed his body to hurt him even more. She figured that meant that things had gotten even worse, and she probably wondered how that could even be possible to be worse. Now, think about the contrast when she realized what was going on. Imagine how she felt when it sank in. It was Jesus himself standing in front of her. Suddenly, all of those images that brought her pain were transformed into evidence, proof of joy. The stone was removed because he lives. The burial clothes were shed because he lives. She was able to touch him because he lives. She was able to be held by him because he lives. Have you ever had an experience even remotely close to that? Karen Harville, our amazing organist who's sharing her skills with us today, was telling me about her very recent experience with the death of her father. 2 Sundays ago, she was getting ready for dinner, which a dear friend had very spur of the moment brought over, when the phone rang. And it was one of those calls we all dread. It was her brother telling her that he had found their father on the floor of their bedroom dead, and that their mother, who suffers from some dementia, was severely hydrated and was probably going to have to be admitted to the hospital as well. The shock and the pain. In the midst of all that's involved in dropping everything and making arrangements to make the trip to Lebanon, Ohio, Karen and her family wrestled with trying to understand what had happened. Her father had not been in good health. He had been diagnosed with type 1 diabetes at the age of 18. And it was pretty amazing that he had lived as long as he had. But there had been no warning that this was going to be the time. They had questions about her mother. What had she known? What had she seen? Had she tried to help but couldn't? There was some evidence that his death may have actually happened the night before. Their medicines hadn't been touched in a couple of days. Their mother didn't seem to remember, to understand. What had she been through? It was a lot to carry. The weight of these questions the weight of their grief. But then the power of their faith began to kind of make its way through. In the midst of the hard parts, they began to see signs of God's presence. The dear friend who had brought the meal over said she just felt this nudge to make dinner for Karen and her family. And so she was there with Karen to comfort her when she got this phone call. Karen's son Craig had recently been asked to play a bassoon solo, and Karen's father had actually been visiting back at the end of February when Craig was trying to figure out what to play. And his grandfather had suggested Marching to Zion. And so that's what Craig had learned. None of them had any idea that meant Craig was going to be ready when it came time to pick music to play for his grandfather's funeral. And then there was the laughter. Any of you who know Karen know she has a wicked sense of humor. She told me that word was okay to use. Well, she says that comes from her father. And she and her family, which because of all the brothers and sisters and grandchildren adds up to more than 35 people, as they gathered and as they dealt with their grief and as they made all of these arrangements that had to be made and as they cared for their mother, she said they laughed a lot. There was the time Karen saw her uncle, her father's brother, and remarked that he looked so much like her dad. "Do you mean dead?" he wondered. There was the moment when they were trying to make sure her mother knew and understood why they were all gathered there together and that her husband was dead. "Does he know?" she asked. There was the funeral director who was trying to be very professional while the family was making all of their jokes and quips, sharing funny stories about their previous funeral experiences. We probably all have a few. Finally, this very distinguished and trying to be professional funeral director just broke down and joined in the fun. There were the comments as the 12 grandsons served as pallbearers and they realized the casket was tipping to one side. "Whose idea was it to put all the tall ones on one side?" someone asked. And there was the family tradition that whenever anyone left after visiting, you probably all have a tradition like this in your family, the family would all stand outside and watch the car as it moved away, and they would roll down the windows in the car, and everybody would scream, "Bye!" So guess what they did at the end of the graveside service? Everyone screamed at the top of their lungs, "Bye!" Now, Karen's father had not had an easy life by any means. Two sisters whom he was very close to died young, which had been extremely traumatic for him. His brother had committed suicide by shooting himself in the bedroom of their family home. His diabetes and the connected health issues, remember this was from the age of 18, made him feel like every year may be his last. And yet he lived by faith. Maybe that's why he could laugh as loudly and deeply as he cried. Laughter and tears are probably the two most honest and deepest emotions that we share as human beings. You know you have a good friend when you can cry with them and when you can laugh with them. And all of that comes together on this first Easter. I'm sure Mary and Jesus laughed a lot when she realized Jesus really was alive. I am sure that the disciples and Jesus laughed a lot as they gathered together in that upper room where earlier they had locked themselves in because they were so afraid. Because of Easter, fear was never going to be the same. Because of Easter, dread was never going to be the same. Death was never going to be the same. In many ways, it's very appropriate that today is also April Fool's Day. I don't know how many of you remember, I was not alive, but the last time this happened was in 1956. And in case you're trying to plan ahead, it's due to happen only two more times in the next 100 years, 2029 and 2040, so mark your calendars. It's appropriate to be a fool on Easter, because God in Jesus fooled a whole lot of people. God fooled the Romans. The Roman Empire thought they were eternal and had all the power. The Roman Caesar thought he was in charge of the world and Jesus would just be forgotten. This arrogance continued as the followers of Jesus went to their deaths in the Roman Colosseum as they suffered beatings and torture and persecution. But today, Caesar is the name of a salad. And today, the message that Jesus lives is being proclaimed by millions of believers all around the world. Jesus fooled Mary and the disciples. What they thought was going to be the worst day of their lives turned out to be the very best. And they are a reminder that if you have questions and doubts today, that's okay. Mary and the disciples did too. And of all people, they should have known that Jesus' promise, what he'd been telling them what that was going to happen, was real. But they had doubts. So it's okay if today you're having doubts and wondering too. And the great joke of Easter is on death itself. Because of Easter, all that threatens to diminish our lives, our freedoms, our joy, are found to be wanting in the light of Easter. Because of Easter, we can laugh deeply at all which threatens to diminish us as people who follow and are filled with the living Jesus. Death may be our greatest fear, but the light of the resurrection shines through and shatters death's power. So the next time you're facing something that tries to undo you, think about Easter. And because of Easter, every day is a new day. Every moment is a new opportunity to choose a new path. In every situation, no matter what it is, we can be assured that the joy and promise of Easter is working to make its presence known. The world may think us fools because of this, but if so, we do well to remember we are fools for Christ, who fooled them all. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious God, each one of us comes here today feeling some doubts and struggles in our lives, things we're facing that are hard. And you know all of it. And we pray that you'll also help us to remember that you have a message for those moments. And that message is about life and hope and promise and possibility. Even when we think it's impossible, Easter is impossible. But you show us. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to stand and